Welcome to Pep Talk with Bridget Kay.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Annalee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Annalee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Annalee. Annalee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Annalee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Annalee.
That's the truth. Woo, yeah, baby.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Bridget. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Taking everything day by day.
Well, you know, right now, I think that's all we can do. Want to welcome everybody to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. I'm your host, Annalee Leonard, and we've got on the phone with us Mr. Bob Burgey, and Bob is our newest advisor. Good morning, Mr. Bob.
Good morning, ladies. How is everybody?
Well, you know, that's what we were just saying, Bob. It's like right now, I think we're all doggone good if we're managing to go day by day and stay healthy and keep our sanity and keep our emotions under control. I mean, I would say, personally, since last year, right December, when the market took that huge, huge fall right around Christmas, we have been in a constant, constant turmoil, a constant state of up and down, up and down. And every time we seem to think that, okay, I'm stretched about as far as I can and maintain sanity, something else occurs that causes more turmoil. I find these, for all of us, times that we need to kind of sit and reflect on a lot of things. And let me just put it to you this way. I think if you can honestly today say that, number one, you are healthy, you have a home to live in, you have food to eat, you're blessed. Now, if you can add to that the fact that you do have a job, and hopefully your outlook for staying healthy remains that, then you are extremely blessed. So I think we've got to try to start maybe practicing an attitude of gratitude, and hopefully that will spread throughout to other people, because we've just got so much upset going on. I just find it a little bit nerve-wracking, but that's just my little personal opinion. I don't know if you or Bridget have anything to say about that.
I completely agree.
You, Annalee. We have so much to be grateful for.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's scary, and I know there are bad things happening, but hopefully, we come through some good because of the bad things happening. And that is, you know, historically, that's kind of the way we evolve. Unfortunately, we don't seem to be advanced enough to evolve on our own. So all of a sudden, we get these turmoils in, and we grow and we become better people. So hopefully through all of this, we become better people, and more kind and more loving to each other. I just think that's so, so unbelievably important. That's just my little thing for the day. So we're still, Bob and I are still here in the office, and Bridget is now in studio. Next week, probably I will go to studio. I'll probably wind up being the guinea pig. Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll send Bob. I don't know.
If it makes you feel better, Mike Wiggins was in studio today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if Mr. Mike can do it, I can do it. and, of course, you know, I had to promise Bridget that when I go next week, I am going to bring Mr. Lance, our new miniature schnauzer, who as of yesterday, is now 13 weeks old and just full of vim and vinegar and pepper. And oh, he is just the cutest little guy. So I'm going to let Bridget meet him.
Oh, yay. That's the only way you're going to be allowed in the building.
I know. He's ransom. I understand. I understand how it works. Well, listen, I want to open up the phone lines. If anybody has a question or a comment or you want to text Bridget, call us at 437-1620. Would love to hear from you today, whether it's on topics we're talking about or something a little bit off. If we don't know the answer between Bob and I, we will find it for you and get back to you with that answer. I don't think we've ever left any question unanswered. We certainly have tried not to with all of the things that are going on. So let's today kind of take a little sidestep. And instead of talking about COVID and everything else that's going on, let's talk a little bit about something that we have to be very, very aware of. And it kind of reflects back on everything that's going on because, you know, times like this add a lot of emotional stress to people. And we have a large, large portion of our population who is over the age of 60. Now, one of the things I've found is that often we tend to clump everybody over 60 in the same barrel. And we say, all right, everybody over 60 is a senior citizen, therefore you are getting senile, therefore you are physically getting feeble, therefore you are not able to take care of yourself. I can tell you, as one of those people who is over 60, I'm not any of those things. I take care of myself. I am very physically active. And thank all the powers that be, my mind is extremely sharp. And I'm still able to do all of the things that I've ever done. But with that said, we have a large portion of people over the age of 60 who are getting to be at a stage in life where we are becoming at risk for needing additional care. I've seen this happen with a lot of my clients. They come in and they're healthy, they're vibrant people. Then someone has a stroke, or they have a fall, or they lose a spouse, and from losing a spouse, they all of a sudden begin to deteriorate. And those of you who are the children, the older groups, you've got to start making some very, very important decisions. Rosalind Carter said it perfectly, and she said this years ago. There are only four kinds of people in the world: those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who need caregivers. Hmm. That's powerful.
That's powerful. That is powerful. That's, Annalee, it touches everybody. Everybody knows a caregiver. Caregiver will need a caregiver. And that's really what the quote is saying. But it's so true. If we live longer, we require more attention.
We do. And you know, you go all the way back to the beginning of life. What happens? We are receiving caregiving in the very beginning of life because as babies, we cannot do for ourselves. And that's normally our parents. They are the ones who are at that point the caregivers, and we are the ones who need caregiving. But then as we get older, very often the tables turn around. And now the parent is the one who needs caregiving. And the children have to make the decision, are they going to be the caregivers? And if so, to what extent? And how is that going to be split up among all of family members? One of the things I find that really is scary is that we don't realize that today, you know, we've been talking about the numbers of people who have recently passed away, the number of people that are ill, the number of people in the hospital. But something I want to remind everybody of right now, There are 8 million, now let that number sink in, 8 million older adults who are needing some type of long-term care and assisted living. That was in 2015. Now, that figure is expected to be 12 million by 2030.
Annalee, so I don't want to interrupt you, but we do have somebody waiting on the line wanting to join in on the conversation. We have Earl from Gulf Breeze. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Earl?
I am doing good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Earl.
Glad to hear Bob on the show today. When he was at Coastal Bank, he was a great help to my best friend. He's a really smart guy. So here's my question.
Yes, he is.
Smart guy. I've always believed in dollar cost averaging, but as I hit my mid-60s and with the recent tumult, I'm starting to think maybe that I need to not put all this money into mutual funds, but rather, you know, I don't really want to sell stock right now because I think that the chance of it going up is better than it going down, but again, mid-60s. So what are your thoughts about dollar cost averaging, and for somebody in their mid-60s, good health, what strategies one might be using today?
Bob, I think he directed that towards you, and then I'll chime in with your answer.
Proceed with caution, Earl. We are going to see a great deal of volatility going forward. We haven't even begun to see these earnings come in with these companies that have basically done without an entire quarter of revenue. And when these earnings come in, you know, the great thing about earnings is that all of these companies in the S&P 500 or all the companies that are publicly traded do not report their earnings all at once. That would be cataclysmic. And with everybody reporting earnings going forward, and of course these companies that are publicly traded do so quarterly, we are going to see a lot of gyrations in the market. So volatility is the name of the game. Now, long-term, investing your money, we do not try to time the market.
Right.
But investing your money for the long-term, absolutely. We do support, you know, doing that or dollar cost averaging it if it's a large sum of money. And, of course, that's tempered with one's risk tolerance and their age, when they'll need to get their hands on the money.
And Earl, the other things you want to think about is to invest age appropriately, as you said, and Bob said, your risk tolerance. And what we're doing with a lot of our people now is some people don't feel comfortable with the amount of risk that just last year they said, yeah, this is what I want to take. So we're rebalancing. We're restructuring some of these portfolios where there's less risk in them right now. And we'll kind of sit back and observe. Now, the pros and cons of that is, of course, you may miss some of the upside. But as Bob said, no one can time the market. If anybody tells you they can, they cannot. You know, people will call me and say, oh, I want you to hold this money, and when it hits this number, I want you to invest. Well, that's not the way it works, okay? So you invest for the long run, and you diversify. That is your biggest key. You diversify, understanding some parts are going to be a little bit riskier than other parts of the portfolio, and maybe think about throwing into that mixture something that's totally safe that might give you income later, or, you know, might keep all that money safe in a growth mode for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And when it comes out, venture back out into the market. So a lot of different ways we could approach that. And the first thing would, of course, be a total analysis of where you are, all of your assets, what your needs are for that money, and then, as Bob said, risk profile, and then building that out. It's a step-by-step, don't you agree, Bob?
Absolutely. It's step-by-step. It's very methodical, and not that your question, Earl, isn't well presented, but we need so many more facts, so much more information to answer that question. But do we believe in the markets going forward? Yes. But the name of the game, is volatility, and that's going to continue for the next 12 months.
Yeah. And I've got a lot of people right now doing some dollar cost averaging, but not as risky as we might have been a year ago. When the volatility settles, we might go back out. The other thing you need to be aware of is that we do have several tactical approaches that we use that when the market gets really volatile, it moves over to a safer net as such that still earns something, but it cuts the bleeding off. When things get better, that money moves back out to the market, which is very good strategy for part of your portfolio in this type of market. So it's not really dollar cost averaging we're doing there. It's called a tactical movement that moves in and out depending upon the volatility measures, the market temperature, all those things play in. And Bob and I are not the ones that sit here and measure that. That is all watched and kept track of by the rest of our team that is with AlphaStar in North Carolina. So a lot of things that could be done to take away some of that volatility. So excellent, excellent question, Earl. I hope that gives you an answer, and if we can be of more help, you're welcome. And we appreciate the call. Thank you.
437-1620 is the number to call or text if you want to join in on the conversation, 850-437-1620.
Yep. And we love it when you call in like that. It doesn't matter if it's on what we're talking about or not. I want to talk about what you're thinking about right now. What is keeping you up at night, or what kind of things do you sit there with pen and paper trying to figure out? Those are the things that we want to approach you with. But if you don't call us or text us, I don't know what those are. So, 437-1620. You can call us, you can text us. You can, if you don't want to be on radio and you want to call, tell Bridget what your question is, and she will gladly relay that to Bob and I. So with that said, let's kind of get back to the fact of all these people who at some time in their life are either going to become a caregiver or need some caregiving. This is kind of an eye-opening statistic. Right now in today's world, people 65 years old face at least a 40% risk of entering a nursing home. 40%. Wow, that's a big number. That's a big number. So if you've got three people in a room, at least two of you are going to have some type of incident of long-term care. That is pretty doggone scary when you think about it. So my question to everybody is, what are you doing to prepare for the possibility of that? Or are you talking to your parents about that possibility? And what kind of things do you start looking at and considering? Because let's face it, the annual cost of a semi-private room, semi-private, in U.S. nursing home is $90,155 a year. That was in 2019. Costs are not going down. They're definitely going up. The projection is that within 30 years, our costs are going to be $200,000 a year. That's a lot of money. What do we start looking at? Sit down and have some conversations with your parents and start noticing some things, or your spouse. It may be your own spouse that you're starting to notice. Are they not refilling? Go ahead.
We have another Bridget? Text message question. It's a little off topic, okay. But it's a good question. How do you feel about precious metals as market hedge?
That is exactly the key word. It's a hedge. Metals are not really an investment. They're a hedge against the dollar. As the worth of the dollar goes up, precious metals normally go up. When the dollar goes back up, the worth of precious metals usually go down. A lot of people have them. A lot of people have types of mutual funds that have those particular things in them, maybe the mining industries itself or the manufacturing of them. In fact, just this year, AlphaStar and some of our tactical movements added some precious metal in there. Now, if anybody wants to actually buy precious metal, call me at the office and I'll get you in touch with the people that we know and trust that deal in that. And we know that if they say you're getting a full silver coin or a gold coin, that is exactly what you're getting. It's not silver plated or gold plated. So if you want to do that, let us know. You want to buy bullions, they do that also. I think it comes down more to particular taste. I personally own very little, but I do have investments that are in that industry. What do you think about that, Bob?
As you said, as you started, it's a hedge. It is not something you want to make some sort of quantum shift in your portfolio and put half of your money or even a large or significant portion into precious metals. It's a hedge. It's appropriate in a portfolio, but not to any great extent.
Yeah, you don't want to get top heavy with that. You really don't. So again, you can call the office 437-3127, and I'll give you the name of the people we use, or I'll have them call you. And that way you're assured that if you get into it, you're getting what you want. Or talk to us about doing investments for you that are in that industry, not necessarily buying the metal and the gold itself, silver or gold, but in that industry. So that's another good question.
Annalie, we have another question. We have another question. We have about three minutes left on the program, just to let you know.
Okay.
This question's great. She said, my name is Taylor. Or he. And I have a question about self-employment retirement. I'm 31 and started a business right about a year ago. I'm on track to make around $150,000 this year. I have no retirement or really a retirement plan. Where should I start?
Well, Taylor, first of all, congratulations on two things. Number one, that you have begun your own business and that it is so successful. And number two, for having the insight to think about the fact that, yes, you have to do something. So the more quickly you begin to start things, the better off you're going to be. Several things that you can do, and this again is going to go into really sitting and talking with you about your business, type of business, whether or not you have employees, plan to have employees, are they full-time, are they seasonal, part-time, what all that's going to play into the type of plan that we might recommend for you. But yes, do you need to start it? You need to start it as quickly as possible. You need to start putting as much in as quickly as possible. So, you know, depending on your type of business, it may be something as simple as a simple IRA. It may be a SEP plan, a simplified employee pension plan. You may be big enough to need a 401k, but that's usually a step down the road. So yes, right. You need to start something. And you need to get it going. Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
And if you do not need the tax deduction, the current tax deduction, if you don't have an income tax problem, go ahead and put $6,000 in a Roth IRA. You'll never get this time back. Of course, you do not get the tax deduction. However, that grows tax-free, not tax-deferred.
Yes.
You never pay taxes on any of the gains, the dividends, the interest in that account. And even one day when you pull it out, you know, at an age you can't even imagine right now, but when you do pull it out, when you're retired, you don't pay taxes then. It's the most powerful account on the planet. However, you can only contribute $6,000 per year.
Well, but again, now think about this, Bob. If she does start a company plan, we can build into the company plans. Yeah.
She can contribute really up to that. What is the amount? About $18,000-$19,000 if it's within the company plan. But if she's doing it outside the company plan, obviously you're limited.
Well, we can continue the conversation after we check in with Mark. More with Winning with Anna Lee after this, 850-437-1620. If you have a comment or a question, what's going on, Mark?
A COVID-19 testing site reopening today. The story after Fox.
Chris Foster. Joe Biden could wrap up the Democrats' presidential nomination with 8 more primaries being held today. He says about President.
Now back to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Bridget Kay on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building,
everybody's
hand
go
up.
And they stay there. And they stay there.
And they stay there.
And they stay there.
And they stay there. I want to tell you, I just woke up poor Jolie. She's sleeping under my desk. And she looked at me with these sleepy eyes like, what are you doing?
I'm surprised she's not dancing with you.
Oh, God. No, not at nap time, honey. When it's nap time, that's
she
that's
cannot
it.
Be disturbed.
No. Welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Emily and Bob. Bob and I are both on the phone today, and I think Bob and I both agree on the fact I am having a wonderful time today. I love it when y'all call in with questions. And let's go back, if we can, to Taylor for a minute. I don't want to cheat her out of an answer, but, you know, you have an unbelievable number of things that you can do. So what I would do if I were you, Taylor, is give us a call, 437-3127, tell Kristen you heard us on the radio, and you want to come in and talk about starting a retirement plan for yourself, for your company. I mean, if you're burning it up this much and you've only been in business a year, oh, honey, you just got so many things that you can do and so many plans that you can make. And again, I'm proud of you that you took that step and you're doing so well. And I'm even more proud of you for the fact that you are thinking about your future. You know, it's what I tell people in my classroom. It's when I teach classes, it's like you're 30, you're 35, and then you go to sleep one night, and when you wake up, all of a sudden you're 50, and then you take, I kid you not, and then you take a nap, and you're 65, and then you blink, and you're into your 80s, because it goes faster and faster as you get older. It's a phenomenon that happens.
That's comforting.
Well, but see, Dave, right. I'm just emphasizing to you the importance of starting. You know, when I look back, I see, when I look at my father, my grandmother, I mean, my goodness, you know, I've already outlived both of them. And I can remember when I was a little girl looking at my grandma and thinking, oh, she's old. Well, no, she wasn't. But to me, she was at that stage. You know, and now, my goodness, I've already passed her up. She passed away at what I considered much too early of an age, so did my father. You know, so we've got a plan, because it just sneaks up on us. And I'm just so proud of you for taking steps now. I just can't emphasize that enough. So if you got a question, you want to make a comment, call us or text us, 437-1620. We would love, love, love to hear from you. Okay, so let's kind of go on to where we were, of some things that you might want to watch out for if you're getting concerned about a parent, or maybe it's a neighbor that you're close to who's older, or, you know, an aunt or an uncle that you're close to, and you're beginning to wonder if that person is actually okay living by themselves. So here's some things you want to look at. Are they getting prescriptions refilled in a timely manner? Or are they getting the prescriptions but not taking medications, or taking them at off schedule, or mixing things together that shouldn't be mixed together? Are things that were totally controlled, like maybe high blood pressure or diabetes that was controlled, now totally off the charts? Maybe that's because they're not taking the medicines correctly or not taking them at all. So this is where we've got to step in. One of the things to me that is very telling, and it would be very telling for someone to go into my food cabinet and all of a sudden see it empty or to see it full of junk food. My food cabinets are always full, and I always have pretty healthy stuff in there. Now, not that you're not going to see a couple of bags of chips, but you're not going to see 10 bags of cookies and 12 bags of chips. And you see where I'm going? Mm-hmm. So the norm for a person, has that norm changed? Here's another one. Take a look in the refrigerator. Is there food in the refrigerator that's been in there way too long? And, again, I would be a good example of that because, like, every week I clean out my fridge. And on garbage night, the night before, clean out the fridge, get rid of the stuff that's too old to keep. I can't put it out till the next morning because I live in Gulf Breeze and we have bears. but it's something that we do, okay? So if all of a sudden you came to my house and opened the refrigerator and said, wow, there's food in here that's moldy, it's been gone for ages. Why is she keeping that in there? Or you find something with just one bite of something in it. That's an indicator that I'm not taking good care of myself and I might need some help. You see where I'm going with this? Okay. Not that you're being nosy, but you want to find out what's happening. So what about mail? Is mail being picked up? Are bills being paid? Is the house being clean? Not that the house has to be immaculate, but is it being cleaned, or is this a person who normally would dust every week and, run a dust mop on the floor, and now there are cobwebs all over the place and maybe leftover spilled food on the floor? Of course, in my house, if you spilled food, you would never know it, because one of the three schnauzers will have consumed it before it hits the floor, you understand. But that's some of the things you want to start looking at. One of the things I'm really concerned about with people now, with all of the sequestering and the cloistering of people, a lot of our people that maybe were kind of on a brink that now are not having any socialization, contact with other people, stimulation, they could fall into a pattern that's not very healthy. So at least be talking to those people, call them. If they do email them, engage them, do FaceTime. But engagement is the biggest thing, I think, okay? So if you got a question, you want to comment on this, or you have a question on another topic, call us at 437-1620 or text Bridget. We would love to hear from you. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay with Annalee and Bob, and we're both here on the phone and we're ready to answer questions, and we've had some very good questions today. And we're kind of talking a little bit about how do you know that someone might be gearing toward that area of needing assistance, of someone either coming in to help them, or they might need an assisted living facility, or they might need to move in with someone else. That sometimes is an option.
And Annalee, that last comment you made before giving out the number, our telephone number, the social interaction, which is so important. I don't know if anyone's seen on the Studer Institute, the SCI Studer Cultural Institute or Community Institute. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it's the old SunTrust building, and
yes.
He'll put up a quote up there, and it's in the night, and it's with a spotlight. And one of them, and this is a Quint Studer quote, is it's not social distancing, it's physical distancing, because
yes.
human interaction is what we need more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this. Studies have shown that human interaction and socialization are catalysts to good health. And
yes.
where could that be more important than somebody that is looking at becoming a shut-in or having you know, social interaction taken from them? It's a deprivation that is just not good for our health.
No, it isn't. And you know, one of the things that I've told everybody that's young and old with this thing of being at home is please still establish and keep a routine. Get up at a regular time, take your shower, eat your breakfast, do exercise or exercise and then take your shower, whichever, you know, get dressed. I'm not saying you have to wear your Sunday best, but get dressed so that if someone comes to your door or you get a call, someone's been in an accident or sick and needs you, you can run out of that door and you don't have to worry about what you look like. That is a psychological way to keep yourself healthy. And I find that a lot of people who are maybe on that brink of thinking, oh, you know, nothing matters anymore, and you do something like this to them, then all of a sudden they don't care about hygiene, they don't care about dressing, they don't care about eating. That is not healthy. It just emotionally is not. Bob knows we worked out of the house. I worked out of my house. Joan worked out of the house for over 2 months. But I can tell you during those 2 months, I got up at the same time. I did my exercise. I took my shower. I got dressed. Now, instead of wearing dress clothes, I might have had on jeans and a nice shirt, but my hair was done. My makeup was on. And I might have been the entire day sitting in the front office working and nobody saw me but me. But when I looked at me, I was okay with the way I looked. I didn't look at me and say, gosh, you're a mess. You see, that's self-defeating. That's self-defeating.
Right.
Because then you get into that. And you guys, y'all said, oh, I'm home for 4 days. I don't have to shave. You know, I mean, don't you look at yourself in the mirror and say, gosh, I'm a mess. You know,
think
about those things. Okay. Because those are the things that we watch for. If people start changing their living habits and start changing their dress and their appearance, or they're not dressing appropriately for the weather. You know, we've gotten back in warm weather. Is somebody still walking around with, you know, the heavy coats on and the heavy sweaters? And if they are, do we need to be concerned about that?
Definitely need to be concerned if I'm seeing anybody in a coat.
Well, and you know, we talk about that, but not long ago, one of our clients' mother passed away, and that was one of the things she was doing. She had started wearing 3 or 4 sets of clothes at one time, with like a heavy sweater on top, because she couldn't coordinate anymore of what she should be wearing, you say? So that's an indicator of some of the things that could be going ahead. So, you know, we've got to think about the things that are out there and what can we do to help people. Those of us who are healthy, one of the things I think we need to think about is how are we protecting ourselves from the possibility of needing care later? What have you done? Now, I know personally, I have an asset-based long-term care policy that if I ever have to go into a facility or I need somebody to come to my house and take care of me or I have to go to assisted living, that policy is going to kick in and pay me money every month. I don't have to be a burden to my family. And that to me is extremely important. You know, so I've taken care of myself. And I think those of us who can, we need to do that. And we kind of look at it and we say, oh man, long-term care, that's, you know, that's when people get at their very worst. No, listen, there are six activities of daily living. Now I want you to think about this: bathing, dressing, eating, transferring from a bed to a chair by yourself, toileting, in other words, going to the bathroom, being able to clean yourself, continence, not having to wear a diaper all the time. Now, those seem very easy, but oh my goodness, what about the person that has a stroke and all of a sudden can't dress themselves, can't take a bath by themselves, can't transfer from a bed to a chair without some activity? They're in need of long-term care. I mean, two out of the six make you eligible. So we have to start thinking about that, and we have to start taking responsibility for ourselves to do that. And I think in doing that, we have to gather together as a family. I don't know about you, Bob, what kind of plans you have started to make, but my family knows that if I get to a point where I need care, I want them to move me back to Louisiana because all of my family's there. I want to be close to my family. They know that.
You want to be close to your support system. And yep, we've talked about this before, Annalee.
Mm-hmm.
Making the preparations is a very selfless act.
Yes.
You know, the one thing you know, the one thing I know, is I am going to be taken care of. I am going to be taken care of. But why not make that as easy and seamless as possible? Make sure the transition and all the pieces are in place to make that happen so that we're not a burden to somebody else, because we will be if we don't make the appropriate preparations before we're in that condition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly true, Bob. And I want to remind everybody, we've got time for one, two more questions. So if you have a question or you want to make a comment, call us at 437-1620 or text us. We'd love to hear from you. We've had some good questions the first half hour. I'd like to get a couple of them in for the last half hour if possible. So if you're thinking about something, give us a call, please. I want to hear from you.
And having a plan is so important. I don't want to cut you off, Annalee, but we talk about it a lot. But I'm one of four siblings, so I can only mm-hmm. see that, you know, in the future we might be, you know, spread out all over the country. And it's really good to have the plan and have those conversations. So whenever the time comes, you know exactly what you need to do and you're all on the same page. Because I mean, I was talking about it with John Horton with assisted living locators. He sees it every day, you know, that siblings aren't on the same page because they don't always know the plan or the condition their parents are in or their loved ones are in. So having those conversations, although they're difficult, are going to be really beneficial.
Well, and that's, Bridget, that's such a good point, because you just said having the conversation is difficult, but what is more difficult is not having the conversation and going through a split up of family later. I've seen it happen so often where, you know, you have one in a family who's extremely successful, has a high power job, so they think and maybe live across the country. Well, I'm too busy for this. You're there, you take care of it. Now, the one who's here very often winds up giving up their job or loses hours at their job, becomes emotionally and physically exhausted, very often is using some of their money to take care of the person. And then when the person passes away, everybody puts a hand out for inheritance. Well, that really causes animosity. It's like, where were you when we needed you? Well, you know, I sent $100 a month. Oh, good. And you make $250 a year. And I'm over here giving up my job and doing everything. So talk about it as a family. And that's so good, Bridget, that you said that. Four of you. All right, if somebody moves, somebody stays here, who's going to do what? And is it more cost efficient to pay for a caregiver or to get somebody like John Horton to find an assisted living facility, is that economically, emotionally, physically more feasible than everybody than having one person try to take all the responsibility? And you know, I love exactly. John. I love what he does, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, assemble your resources, pull people together, plan ahead. That's your biggest thing. I've had people come in and say, if mom and dad don't do well, we're going to build an addition onto the house, or we're going to go in their house and do this and that to make it more senior friendly as such. Okay, that is a good plan. But would it be better, instead of spending that money and building a whole addition on the house, would it be better to have someone that, if they were in an independent or an assisted living community, that could be there and have care on a consistent basis, have someone there to watch, have someone there to cook meals? Or is that really, really what everybody wants, is for everybody to be together? Those are the kind of things we have to decide. What kind of living arrangements are we going to have, and who's going to provide what? If you got right. two people in the same city, let's suppose Bob and I were brother and sister, and I'd say, okay, Bob, today I'm going to cook, but you go over to the house and you make sure you clean the house and make sure the bills are paid, and I'll bring over dinner for everybody. And then, a couple of days later, Bob's going to say, all right, look, I'm going to take mom and dad over to the hospital or whatever for a doctor's appointment. And while I'm doing that, would you again cook dinner? So you see, it's that constant, don't expect everybody to do everything. Does that kind of like make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And you said at the beginning of the show, the probabilities, and what did you say, 40%?
Yeah, that's today's numbers.
Right. Now, that isn't a chance or a slight chance that something may happen. That's almost an expectation. So the preparation becomes even more important. And I remember looking at my life expectancy the year I was born. Was age mm-hmm. 65. It is now, in 2020, almost 80 years old. Somewhere along the line, we picked up 15 years, and this is just during my lifetime so far. Mm-hmm. So the average life expectancy has gone from 65 to 80. Well, the advances in medicine and the importance, and we know that medicine is based on the premise of, preserving life. And the advances are so great, and we're able to keep people, even the hanger-ons, you've got these people that are living to be in their 90s and, sometime past the century mark. And it's just, there can be 20 years of this time in your life where you're not able to take care of yourself.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing to face. And I just want to sum it up in saying, talk to your family, pull the professionals in, pull your accountant in, pull the financial advisor in, pull somebody like John Horton in, go to the websites, read the books, do whatever you have to do in preparation, but build yourself a team, please. Bob and I do that a lot here in the office. We have clients that come in. We work with John. We work with their CPAs. We work with the attorneys to make sure all the paperwork is in order that they need to have. But don't try to go this alone. Please pull the professionals in. Pull your family in. Don't just think, that old saying that I always grew up with, no man is an island. And that is so, so correct. Build a team, use the team, have the support of the team. There are even support groups for people that are caregivers. go out, say please, say thank you. More important in today's world, be kind to each other, and we will make it a wonderful, wonderful world. We'll see you next week.